Hannah Esther.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. How are you feeling?
Well, really good. My eyesight's coming back slow but sure. Today was really
good. Good, 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 good. Do you use turmeric to cook?
Do what?
Turmeric. Do you use turmeric or coconut oil?
I have used it. I haven't been using hardly any oil at all lately.
It might help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had
but that's good to hear that you're feeling better.
From Israel. And I've also been going to
good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Am I interrupting?
No.
Oh, no. I was just asking Hannah how she was feeling.
Baruch Hashem. I believe somebody else just came on. They want to announce themselves.
Hello, Hannah. This is Bracha.
It's nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
We're starting with section 50 in Bereshit Bet. Verse 2:14. This is soothing and asking permission. Going to be an interesting section. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bit Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himud Liakta Hashem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kenanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kenaneihu. Vayeha El HaAdam Mehakaolif Nadivan Abavi Madikala Ve'ala Birshuteya Dechatan Kada et biti natati lish hazeh v'gomer mikan ve'elam v'elach v'alayeteh v'gaba deha beta v'ilahu diktiv v'yavo aleha V'yavo gam el Rachel V'kad meta v'yavieha El ha'adam da'ad haka Id la'aba ulima L'mevad levatar Iyu yete L'gaba v'kol beta V'ilahu v'yito Reshut Mina. And he brought her to Adam. From this we learn that it is incumbent on the father and mother of the bride to transfer her to the charge of her bridegroom. As we read, my daughter I have given to this man. Henceforward, the husband is to come to the wife, because the house is hers and not his. It behooves him, therefore, to come to her, as it is written, and he went into her. And he went into also to Rachel. In the beginning it is written, and he brought her to Adam, because not until the mother and father prepare her to receive the light of Chasadim from Zeranpin will Zeranpin come to her. All the whole house is the female's. And he has to have her permission before mating. Questions, comments, thoughts?
And I'll explain what it means. The house is hers and not his. Could you elaborate on that, please?
In Judaism, and it's really not just Judaism, in the spiritual world, male and female have different roles. The one aspect of the role of the female is to handle the children, to educate the children, to raise the children, to care for the children, to bear the children, obviously. And as part of that, the living abode, the house, is her responsibility. And it's in essence, many times in the Torah, when the code words are the house of Israel, this is referring to the female. When we understand the idea that Adam was created male and female back to back, but when they were turned face to face, you now have two, which is the letter bet, which is the meaning of the, in Hebrew, the word bet means house. So that's what's being, you know, explained and discussed. I mean, there's a lot more to what that means, that the house is hers, but ultimately on one level she has control of the house, and anything that goes on in the house, if she tells him to move the furniture from one part of the house to the other and then back again because she changed her mind, this is his, you know, he needs to follow her orders and with respect to the home. I believe there were some other comments or questions.
Chanel.
Yes, Chanester.
I would have thought it meant like the female reproduction organs being the house of creation, a house of a child.
That very well could be. It's as I said, there's much more to the idea of the house being hers. It's well said. Any other comments or thoughts? Verse 2:15. Ve'alda itarda v'iktiv v'ifka v'makom v'yalech v'yalen sham v'natel rishu b'kadmeta mikan olifna v'man demitchaber v'in teteya v'elamifka La ulvasma, la bamilin ve'ilav, la yavit legaba, begin dihe ruta, bilchon kachada, bidla anisu. And upon this we commented, and he came onto the place, and he slept there. Meaning that he asked permission first. From this we learn that he who wants to mate with his wife must soothe her first and soften her with sweet talk. Failing to do so, he shall not sleep with her, because their desire must be mutual and without coercion. Questions? Comments? Thoughts? I'm going to add a comment Why do you think it has taken society 3,000 years to recognize that coercion, in, even within a marriage, is not acceptable? And that a husband can be sued for raping his wife or charged with raping his wife. Well, I can see this is a stimulating conversation.
Well, it's the same. So, I mean, this is everyday life. I guess as women, we understand this very well.
I'm sure you do. But why do you think men didn't?
I know. Basically, male. I'm a good husband, so I can't relate to, you know, to anything other than that.
Can I make a comment?
Please.
I kind of think that it's taken us so long because men are so preoccupied being men. And trying to prove their manliness to other men. That they just don't take the time to notice.
Well, perhaps they're not built to notice.
That's probably true.
You know, the male is supposed to be the external. His focus is outward. I keep asking this question and nobody ever really answers me. Why do you think we don't have eyes in the back of our heads? And the answer go ahead.
Because that was given to mothers.
Exactly. No, it's actually, it was given to both, because the male is the eyes in the back of the female's head and the female is the eyes in the back of the male's head because they're back to back. But men are focused on the external. Women are focused on the internal, and that's part of the original question that Bracha asked about, you know, what does it mean that the house is hers?
Hanok, I was thinking, when it comes down that he who wants to mate with her for his wife, it's usually not the man who wants to mate for posterity. It's usually the female. She's the one who has this intense desire more than the male. So is there a trade-off here in the spiritual essence that the male has to be enticed, or not coerced, but enticed in a way to feel this longing for that same goal, when it's more the wife than the male, especially if a female in this realm is barren, and that's the hardest task or the hardest trial a female can have, when she has this desire for the man that she loves to bear his child.
The what you're describing is referred to in Kabbalah and in the spiritual laws called female waters.
Okay.
And it's really describing the idea that nothing happens in the spiritual realms without an action taking place in the physical level. The cause of Shefa, the goodness of God, coming into the physical world, can only do so when the vessel does an action that awakens the spiritual flow. So what you're describing is well known in the spiritual laws and in the Kabbalah, and it's called female waters. there's male waters, which is basically the idea that the flow comes from the light, comes from the spiritual levels. But that flow will never happen without an awakening from below, referred to as the female waters. And within the male-female relationships, that is what you've described.
Okay.
216, unless somebody has something else they'd like to add. Vayalem cham ki va ha-shemesh le'achaza'a de'asir le'yalvarnash le'sham sha'arseya bimama vayikach mavnei ha-makom vayatem me'ra'asotav Ha-ka-o-lif-na, da-filu yehon le-malka, ar-se-de-da-ha-va, u-vu-she-yakar, le-me-vat-be-ho, u-mat-ro-ni-ta-ta-t-ken, le-ar-sa, mi-ta-kan be-av-nin, Ishbok Dileya Vyaveyat Levai Vyavet Bamedi Tatkin Dikti Vaishkal Bamakom Hahu. And he slept there because the sun was setting. Comes to teach that sexual intercourse is forbidden during the day. And he took of the stones of that place, and we have learned that even if a king has beds of gold and glorious bedgowns to sleep in, and the matron prepared for him a bed of stones, he should leave his own and use what she has prepared. As it is written, and he lied down in his place, namely, on that bed of stones. Questions? Comments? Thoughts?
The metaphor for stones, I understand in Hebrew, well, not Hebrew, but in the Judaic understanding, that it can represent the physical body. When it's not in motion, it just stays. Could that be possibly the case here?
Yes, that is possible. Every time you have a code word that has a certain meaning, it can be read and it can be understood in that level, because you always have to remember, even though we're getting an English translation of the Aramaic, there are 70 meanings to every letter and every word and every phrase, and that applies to the Zohar as much as it does to the Tanakh. So it's very possible that that's true and very real. The one thing that I always like to mention when we talk about this verse, it's talking about Jacob, where he dreamed of the ladder that
right.
went from the earth to the heaven. But it says that Jacob lay down on those stones. And then when it says when he arose, the word stone is now in the singular, implying, and the Midrash says that he lay down on 12 stones,
mm-hmm.
meaning the 12 tribes. And then when he awoke, they had become unified. That through the process of him growing to Israel, from Jacob to Israel, that is the unification technique. Because in the physical world, things are separated, but in the spiritual world, they're more unified. And I think that applies to this discussion, this verse as well.
Okay.
But I'm surprised nobody's asking why it's forbidden during the day. So I'll ask it. Why do you think zavug or sexual intercourse is forbidden during the day?
Having to do with the concealed and the revealed.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's exactly my understanding of the reason.
Mm-hmm.
The sexual intercourse, any kind of unity, needs to be done in a concealed manner. And the daylight does not allow for concealing. Everybody's contemplating this?
Mm-hmm.
Does it sound like the words were endearing? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh?
There's a beautiful wedding song of that. That by yeah. Now, we've been married almost 58 years, and it was popular when we got married. So there definitely is that song.
But I don't think people in the modern generations would consider it a how do I phrase this? I don't think they would consider it really romantic. It can be, and it obviously is. But I don't think with the idea of these words, bone of my bones, is not a romantic idea, other than the idea of unification. Bones represent hardness, strength. It doesn't appear to me, and maybe that's just because I'm male, but it doesn't appear to be really romantic in the modern sense of romanticism.
Mm-hmm.
could it be Hanok when it says bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh? Okay. Man represents a certain level. The bones are from him, right? And then the flesh is just the heart. It's interesting how it says that he needs to speak to her to win her affections. Usually, if a female already has this deep, passionate love for this man that she wants to be united with, it just seems to be more like icing on the cake, you know, to reassure her of his love. I don't know. But just knowing that his tenderness is what she needs to unfold the love inside of her if it's locked up, because it says arouse love within her, is interesting.
I agree. Look, every marriage is different, and every divug is unique. So, you know, sometimes the female initiates, sometimes the male initiates. But it's really very difficult to come into unity without verbalizing.
So you're saying that verbalizing the words is like a code inside of it that needs that, how do you say it? It's like a code. She's a key. You're the key and she's the lock, and you need the code to unlock it. Is that what you're saying?
It's a good metaphor.
Okay.
If you go strictly on body language,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot lost in that translation. Body language can be misinterpreted. You know, the joke that the woman has a headache. You know, if that's essentially she's closed. She's been taught to be closed. As a girl, she's taught to keep her legs together. The whole idea of how does she open? She only is willing, appropriately willing to open to the one person that she's married to. That's been the tradition of the children of Israel since the Torah is given. And understanding that idea, how do you unlock it using your metaphor? But you know, how do you open that up? It has to be her choice. And what will motivate that? You know, come here, babe is not going to do it most of the time.
Since she's the vessel who receives love, Hanok, she needs that, to have that open, she has to have that reassurance that this man that she's with does definitely love her the way she needs to be loved. That's not always the case when people marry for the wrong reasons.
One of the worst averot, the worst transferring of energy to the negative side is when you have a zivug where either party is conscious of someone other than who they're with. Because consciousness controls, and so the unity is with whoever you're thinking of. And people don't really understand that, you know, especially in modern psychology. They authorize people to have these fantasies when they're with their spouse, despite their sex life. And it's really inappropriate. You need to be concentrating on who you're with. And that's part of the verbalizing process. As they they communicate with each other using words, soft words, gentle words. You know, they're bringing their consciousness to be very focused on each other. At least hopefully that's the way it's done.
But don't you think that in the Judaic context, the man and woman have a goal? It's to, when they bring a child in the world, there's an accountability and a responsibility because this is their ultimate love for Hashem to do this process here in the world, because that's the purpose of being here is propagation. Besides having tender lovingness, that usually when it's time for mating, the mating is a process that involves the man, the woman, and Hashem in the middle of this in preparation for which child will be sent down to them or the soul who has specific traits that are needed for the child to grow in the companionship of both mother and father.
Brach, that's very nice, and I agree with you, but you're leaving out the other thing that we learned the last few sessions,
okay,
which is that the Yetzer Hara is the evil inclination is necessary for procreation.
Right, right. But the focus cannot just be
The focus cannot just be the gentleness and the love, although that's very much part of it. The aggressive nature of the left column of the tree, of the Yetzer Hara, that aggressiveness, that power, that strength, has to be there to draw the child.
True, true.
Any other questions or comments? Because it's our half hour is up, and this is a good place to stop. It's halfway through the section. So I wish everyone a beautiful evening. At 7 o'clock West Coast time, we will have an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. And tomorrow at this time, 4:30 West Coast time, we will continue and hopefully finish this particular section.
Thank you, Hanout.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.